That's exactly what he said.
Good energy fills me. I feel the love. I know it's not me. It's from above. I'm overflowing. I feel the good. It's something on me strongly. If you feel me, everybody throw your hands up and say, we know. I feel the grace. I don't deserve it. It's just his pace. I'm aerial surfing, gone with the wind. His hand is on me. If you agree, can't explain it simply. Go ahead and throw your hands up. I woke up this morning to get it in. No, I'm not playing. This is my trend. No, I'm not perfect. I wanna get it right. So I encourage my own self. Turn left, focus on my own shelf. Reach for the top, don't stop.
Hands.
Yeah. I feel good. I'm so grateful. I feel good. I'm so thankful. I feel good. Man, I'm so blessed. I feel good. Hands up.
Power that you have made available to those of us that submit and obey you.
Father God, we're asking that you would bless us with the knowledge of your will. Give us the strength and the courage to carry it out so that we will be fruitful in every good work approved of by you. Bless us to grow in the knowledge of you. Father God, I ask that you would bless my tongue to be that of a ready writer, to write upon your hearts of your people and even my own. Let it be all of you and none of me. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. By order of the Lord God, creator of heaven and earth, I am continuing on the body of Christ, kingdom of Christ. Amen. And really, like, the thing to understand is when you hear the term Christ, think of it as saying completed work of God. You know, I've learned and by communing with the Holy Spirit that there are three gens of man, you know, being that there were three versions. One was from Adam to Jesus, and that was man without the Holy Spirit, with the exception of a few, a prophet, a priest, and a king. And then second gen man is gen man with the Holy Spirit, beginning on the day of Pentecost, which every Christian receives when they receive Christ into their heart. It is like, it is not the same as just going to a church and sit down, you know. And people do that. They're going to sit down at a church and be there for years and never have went forward and made a commitment. It has to be a commitment made. That's essential. Amen. Even if you just tell one person, that's a commitment. I tell people, I carry these little business-sized cards with the prayer of salvation. If they don't pray it then, I tell them they have to tell at least one person that they have received Christ. The reason being is that Satan is, according to 2 Corinthians 4:4 and other places, the god of this world. And he has legal authority over those that have not made that decision. People don't like to think that. They like to think they're on their own. They're making up their own mind, but that is not the case. And we are rapidly approaching the time where that will be absolutely clear, because an event called the rapture is going to occur. And I just recently heard a testimony of another person who died and went to heaven, and Jesus told them specifically that the church was not going through the tribulation. And I believe that, because everything that they said, the thing you have to see, this is the benefit of knowing the word of God and knowing, communing with the Spirit of God, which he can testify in your spirit and verify when you hear anybody. He'll tell you when they're telling the truth. He'll tell you when they're lying. That don't matter. It doesn't matter who it is. It don't matter what they call themselves. But I knew that because I believe that. You know, it's a choice. I don't even get this idea that the rapture occur when Jesus is coming down to rule earth. No need to rap. I can just sit here and wait. Why you going to snatch me up and bring me right back down in a twinkling of an eye? That make about senses, you know, a banana donut or something. I don't know. But anyway, so the thing is again, when people look at the Bible, it gets kind of confusing, and that is because they don't lend themselves to it. You have to address it as God speaking to you, for one, revealing his plan, his revelation, his understanding, his psychology, his methodology. Amen. You know, I might well go ahead. You know, there was a recent incident at the Oscars that everybody heard, and I'm not surprised. And bear in mind, everything that I'm saying today will relate to that incident. Because when you talk about the body of Christ, when you're talking about the kingdom of Christ, that we're all in this together. And we can't, as Peter said, let these things slip. Because if we let them slip, Satan slip in through the crack in the door and make a quick hit. You know, my car got hit back December 2nd, and it didn't take but a second, you know, to damage it. And that's all Satan did. He don't need a half hour, a week, a month. He just need a quick hit. You know, things can change in a heartbeat, you know. And this is the thing I'm watching with people. Now, so the incident that went down prior to that week, one of those individuals was recognized as a, quote, Christian in Hollywood. And then Satan attacked him and provoked him and perverted it. Okay, so quickly. And this happens to everybody. I've been there. You know, I've been there. I worked in the jail. So you can imagine I've had a lot of experience and opportunities to nut up on people because they, you know, you got people in there that just, that's, jail is basically a mental institution, you know. You got this little about 12% that are just out cold crazy. And so you really, and this whole of life is about learning to manage your spirit under pressure, particularly psychological. When somebody calls you a name, I remember this gentleman, his name was Bernard, I'm not going to say his last name, but I remember this guy called himself, he got upset. He was calling me every kind of name. He was making up names. It was so funny. I started to laugh. He started to get angry. I was entertained by it because at the same time, I was preparing a report, and he didn't know how skillful I was at preparing reports. And just for running off at the mouth, he wound up with 20 days in the hole, and the hole is what it is. It's not nice, okay? But that was their response. Now, that did not occur, that my ability to respond in that manner did not occur instantly as a Christian. Say that had happened 3 weeks into my being a Christian. I remember my third week of being a Christian, I sat down on the curb, told God, I'm through. I gave it up. I'm not perfect. I'm not going to be perfect. You know, and God, you know, God will, he will come and comfort you. You know his presence. It's different. It changes the atmosphere. Even though you can't physically see, you can see, I mean, you can feel and you know it's him. It's like you're not on earth at the same time. It's like you in heaven instead of, I mean, I don't know how he do what he do, but he does. And this is the other thing. He definitely, those moments, he will just talk plain. Like I'm talking now. You know, I wish this was all the time, every day, but it's like at the most crucial moments, he would talk plain. And he told me, he said, I tell you what, give me 25 years, okay, and if in 25 years you still don't want to do it, then, okay, you can go back to what? It's been 45 years, okay? But see, this is the thing. That's the other thing. See, we got to look out for each other. We have to look out for each other. Now let's get to the meat of the subject. Let's go read the scriptures so we know where we at, what we're talking about. In my computer jumping all over the place. All right. And this time we're in Romans chapter 12. And this time I'm going to read from verse 1 down to verse 5. Because I want you to get to Paul was dealing with, you got to understand, dealing with Rome back then was the same as coming to Detroit or New York or L.A. You pick a major city with a lot of prosperity and a lot of different attitudes and mentalities. And they've been this way. And you have to understand, remember this, because God is going to start pulling on a lot of y'all to do outreach. What are you going to, you need to have a response for a person that's rich and got good health. You can, you know, they want to know, what do I need God for? I don't need anything. Well, see, one is the simple fact that you were born. They were born, okay, born in sin. You need to understand those basic things. They were born in sin. They are not a child of God. Everybody is not a child in God. John 1:12 says, as many as received him, to them he gave power to become sons of God. And the reason, the fact that they use sons, you could throw in daughters, but it means a person that manifests God on earth, all right? All right, now let's read this. It says, now this is from the NIV. Anyway, therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship or submission. Or glorifying God. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. For by the grace given to me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you are, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment, in accordance with the measure of faith God has given you. Just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ, we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. All right. You know, I wasn't surprised at the attacks and the comments and the jokes, particularly about the event that went down. But do you have to caution? And I put a caution out on Facebook. I know there's millions of people on Facebook, so there's millions of people that didn't see it. But the fact of the matter is, you have to be conscious, particularly now. This is a different era. We're not in just the last days. We are in the end of days. And as I said, well, anyway, this event in Ukraine eventually will evolve into World War III. I mean, it'll get back down as long as we keep praying. But we are in a spiritual, the battle in the spiritual realm is where it's waged the hardest, and that we are winning, amen. So, but at the same time, Satan's strategy is to reduce the number of people that effectively pray, and that's only Christians. And so to get at Christians, he has to look for opportunities when they are out of the will of God. You don't need but a moment. And then he'll attack. Boom, cancer. And then he'll use psychology and throw fear upon them. I mean, I know. I've been through the process. When they told me I had cancer, that dude, he's talking or whatever. His little dumb demon started talking. And I told that dude, shut up. I don't even want to hear that. You know what? Y'all got kicked out of heaven. You do not have authority over me. You do not have authority over Jesus. Now, that benefit I gained by being in the body of Christ. See, that's the significant difference. You have to have a covenant with God through Jesus. Okay, that's a primary. Once you have that, you have those advantages. You have to align yourself up with the Word of God. And that's crucial. See, and this is the whole thing. People's mouths right now are opening the door for attack. And this is, trust me, this is a plan. You know, there was discussion as to whether the whole event that went down was a plan, but I do know this much. Satan has a plan. He understands the psychology. He knows the Word. People can doubt all they want. He knows the Word. He quoted it to Jesus. You can go back and read Matthew chapter 4. He quoted the Word. And, you know, they say he misquoted. No, he quoted because he know he can pervert. He perverts the Word. That's what he talked about when Jesus said, tempt not the Lord your God, because he knows Satan pervert the Word, okay? God is not under our command. We are under his. And we have to be consistently conscious in this day and hour, because if he reduced, the goal is going to be to reduce the number of, reduce the amount of people that pray, and that's a narrow amount. Somebody checked up on a statement that I made when I said 98% of Christians don't pray and don't read the Bible, and they come back with a number of 96. But they, you know, I mean, the number going to fluctuate. I'm just, the point of the matter is, it should be the other way around. It should be 98% of Christians pray. And I'm not talking about like one of them monks or something where you spend 8 hours a day praying every day. They don't even pray every day all day. They really don't. You know, if you ever get to talk to one, you ask them. See, this is how I learn things. I like going to the source. You ever see them? They wear these brown, thick, I don't know what kind of material, almost like a winter coat material, tweed, a robe with a hood. I mean, they still exist. Matter of fact, the church that I belong to now used to belong to some, I forget what kind of monks they were, but they used to belong to them. Now, some of them do pray, but it just amazed me that they're hands off with the Bible. And that really astounds me. Even the Pope is hands off with the Bible. Like it's a religious artifact that you can't handle. It's like like the Holy of Holies in the temple where only the high priest could go in. Everybody can't just pick up a Bible and read it. I mean, this is really, and then inside it says study to show yourself approved. Now, how you going to do that if you don't pick it up and open it up? And then they even printed some versions. And, you know, it's strange. But, you know, this is why it's essential. You go to God yourself. You know, I run into people with all types of doctrines, and it's amazing how their conversation changed when I said, did you go to God and ask? That should be a yes. You know, my book is in print now. It goes live on, Amazon, April 13th. You know, I finally found out exactly when. They're taking pre-orders right now. But every step of the way, I pray. I pray for every chapter. I pray every day, every time I touch it, every time I did a correction, everything I did. I mean, I prayed a simple prayer because you want God in there. And he said, look at this, in Proverbs 3:5-7. See, this is a benefit of being in Christ. You can do that. Everybody, they want to do it. They want to go to God, and God will try to bless them. But Satan has legal authority to block them. He does not have legal authority to block you. So when you do Proverbs 3:5-7, in all your ways acknowledge him and he will direct your path. God can just put his hand up. He's what they used to say, talk to the hand. God could do that to say, talk to the hand. This is my child. He's authorized to talk to me. Come on, son. Talk to me. Daughter, come on. You don't need your pastor to go. You know, your pastor should come in to play if you're not clear. And if you got to be silent with God sometimes. You just have to sit and be still. He wants a one-on-one with you. God, listen. God, remember this. God is one-on-one. They say there's 2 billion Christians anyway. But when you talking, when you praising him, there's one Christian with God. He's one-on-one. He's loving that way. I mean, it's amazing how he is. But he's individual love for each person, you know. Everybody's his favorite. I remember when I first heard his sister say she's God's favorite daughter, you know. But all his daughters is his favorite daughter, you know. And that's something. It's crucial. All right. So if you notice here, if you're in Christ, there needs to be some evidence, some change in some behavior. You know, Paul's saying here that you no longer conform to the pattern of this world. You can't do that unless you read the Word of God. When I sat down and I read 1 Samuel through the Bible, I was astounded by all the things I had never heard and by all the things I used to think that they were cleared up. I believe the Word over anyone and anybody. You know, that's why I'm under my pastor. He has the phrase, he says, if I can't show it to you in the Bible, you have no obligation to believe it. You know, and that's just the way it is. You know, I've never heard my brother preach without the Word. He can preach without the Bible in his hand, but everything he preached is verified, established by the Word. And that's the way it is, because the whole point is we're growing into the person God wants us to be. That's why it's called training day. I'm learning to be the person that God wants me to be. Get this number, folks. Beyond a billion years. I'm only 70. That makes me the equivalent of almost like a seed in Adam being born. I'm nowhere down the road. I mean, them guys in the first 2,000 years were living 800-900 years. 800-900 years. We're going to get 1,000 years with Jesus, with the devil locked up on this planet. It's incredible. 1,000 years with no pollution, no sickness, no disease. He's going to put all that on hold. He's going to clean up. Then after that 1,000 years, he's going to give us a whole brand new hookup, brand new earth, brand new heaven eternally. I mean, come on. See, this is the things that I keep in mind when the challenges come, my ultimate goal, okay? I like the comfort of knowing what happened to me should I die. You know, that's not a bad idea. I mean, that's not an idea, but not a bad adventure. It's not something I'm not questioning whether or not I'm good enough to make it past God's judgment. I got the best lawyer in the universe. His name Jesus Christ. He pleads my case. John 1, 1 John, 1 John, 1 John, 1 John, 1 John, okay, you got to know which one. I know I got new folk. Those are in the back of the Bible. 1 John, don't be afraid to use the index either. Don't you know? But then again, yeah, nowadays they got electronic Bible. 1 John 1, 2. 1 John 2, 1. He said, we have an advocate. That's an attorney. To plead my case. Lord, he's crazy. So let him on in. But anyway. All right. So you got to get yourself acclimated to kingdom mindedness. That's what I'm trying to do with all these, with this teaching. Trying to get you past human thinking into kingdom mindedness, because it's not that simple to take in. And you see that when you find a lot of resistance with Christians that won't their way. And it ain't, this ain't, God is not the Burger King. Because again, you have to bear in mind the reality of your nature, your makeup, the ability that you would have outside your body. I mean, think about it. Have you ever contemplated what it takes for you to talk? Notice how quick that occurred. Your flesh is not talking. You are making your flesh talking. You're making your tongue move. Well, you're not. I am. I'm making my tongue move, my eyes move. I'm making so many things are happening at such a rapid rate, roughly about 250 millionths of a second. And you're hearing that rate, grabbing vibrations out of the air, calculating them, enunciating them, developing them. And if I'm not getting the language right, I'm just getting it, trying to get you to think that you're beyond more than what you see. We tend to not look at these things when we eat food. You know, I used to wonder, somebody asked me, did you actually put a sandwich on a corpse's face? Yes, I wanted to see. I mean, I've had a chance to go to the morgue, and it's interesting. The body does not do that. Your spirit runs your body. Think about this. When the rapture occurred, my mother going to come back, snatch up her dust in a casket over there in Westland, and rebuild it and dress it and then leave. In a twinkling of an eye. She's not gonna take, not gonna have to. It ain't like, you know, back in the day they used to have these puzzles with numbers or pieces with numbers. She ain't got all her parts numbers. Just go call them. They gonna come to her. God is not. Now this, listen to this. Is very important. God is not going to do that. She is going to do that. That's the God nature in us that's guarded by the Holy Spirit, which came through Christ. You got to get that revelation. That's why good people go to hell, because they don't have Christ. Not because they're bad, because they don't have Christ. Children excluded, okay? Children don't go to hell, okay? There's lots of evidence to that. Everybody go over there, they see children running around happy playing, you know, waiting on their parents to show which, you know, God already know which parents going to make it over there. Okay, that's going to be joyful. Man, imagine that. You know, I got a son named David over there. So I get to watch him grow up. See, God is loving like that. He fully understands what's going on. We just have to sit under him. I mean, we're dealing with a God who's omniscient, that has a son that died and rose again. Come on. Now, you can't assign this to just, well, like it's some type of make-believe story. If it's make-believe, you got to understand why your food digests. Because I'm telling you, your spirit is interactive with that. It does it. It conducts it, what they call it, autonomously or autonomously, whatever it is. These things happen. Now, with that amount of power available, God wants you to have an understanding of what he requires for you to go to the next level. And that's what the word is about. That's what the word is about. And that's what I'm trying to, like I said, Christ, I've been weeks trying to explain that Christ and the anointing and what that means is like you walking around as a legal nuclear bomb, pretty much, you know, with greater force. I was listening to the descriptions of the new nuclear weapons. I wonder where they've been testing them at. And how they are like almost 1,000 times more powerful than the bomb that destroyed Hiroshima. They are going to be used, saints. You do not want to be left behind. Don't. Satan is coming at you. The biggest threat that I see coming to the body of Christ ain't COVID. Ain't dying. That'll make people, anybody laying on a deathbed don't repent and die and go to heaven. They stupid to the 10th level, okay? Parody, however, will get people amnesia. Satan used that on Israel. If you break down and analyze just one chapter in the book of Isaiah and ask God to explain it to you, what he's talking about, what happened, and you go back and review the history of Israel after they got to the place where they could spend that gold that they got from Egypt, they forgot who God. Read the book of Isaiah. This guy, he expresses his complaint about how he makes a statement. He said, you have not even called my name. That means they stopped worshiping when they wasn't at the temple. You know, like folk now, they go to church. When they leave church, that's it. Total amnesia. Especially those that have arrived. Listen, prosperity don't mean you have reached the pinnacle of your relationship with God. Don't mean got thieves. Everybody got prosperity. What does that mean? What are you? Something needs to say you are serving God. Not only at church is great, excellent, but what about the other 6 days? What about the other, I don't know how many hours, but you know, what about those hours? Do you go every day without praying for someone else beside you and your family? This is the main thing. See, we are the only people with authority to pray for people to get saved, for people, the Christians that fall by the wayside, to be restored. We pray for people's healing. We're the only ones. That's not, you won't find other cultures. They might attempt that, and, you know, they might even try to pretend like he's doing it, you know. But the real reality is, this is what the word is. This is why Paul is saying, do not be conformed any longer. He's telling you, you can't be any old kind of way. You can't, okay? Now, okay, so I really... we come that far I want to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 6 verse 19. Okay. And this is again, Paul, remember this is another one of them churches that Paul was dealing with. Amen. Now, again, you have to remember, you when you come into Christ, you're coming into a cultural change, okay? You were one way, and now you're coming another way. And, again, don't get caught up in this mindset that I'm human, and this is what we do, we sin. Okay, we do, but what does God expect? You know, how do you tell God, who has given you access to his power, authority over every demon and devil, that you can't live according to his word? Because you got flesh? Think he know that. I mean, he designed it. He know exactly what it can and cannot do. Okay? You know, writing my book, why did it take me 3.5 years? God wanted me to know that dyslexia no longer dominated my mind. See? That was worse than a disease, okay? Satan used that for years against me. So he wanted me to handle that too. Why? Because it was going to be between me and him, and he brought it forth. So that there go the word that says, I can do all things through Christ, who fortifies, strengthens, lifts me up, encourages me. See? When I look at it, even for me to do what I'm doing right at this moment is something. You can't imagine the first time I had to speak, period, and how intimidating that was. And now all the time I'm going to tell the God of all creation, omnipotent, omnipresent, omniscient, that he made a mistake. Yeah, right. But no, this is about, see, because when we go into the next phase of life, a Gen 3 man, there will be a balance. Everybody be on the same level, okay? But right now, the differences in us is what allow us to utilize the fruit of the Spirit, particularly peace or long-suffering in dealing with each other. These are, if you look at the fruit of the Spirit, it's about dealing with each other. Okay, now, because we are, I guess because we are, we're, some more things are coming. They're opening up doors. You're seeing things happen in, quote, the sexual avenue. It's amazing what goes on. And because I'm usually so detached away from that world, I don't see it as much as, and I stumbled onto something, and I'm like, I was shocked, but not shocked. I'm like, it's just a wake-up call. But to understand anything that is of sin is for one purpose that Satan promoted, and that is to deprive you of your power, particularly if you have a family. I mean, if you're male, you're the head of your household, to pray over your household, even if you're a female and you're the head of the household, to be able to pray. There's certain conditions, as in the realm that you can't see, there's a demon blocking angels with a word saying, she did this, he did that, and until they repent, they can't have this or that. A lot of things. Believe me, God, see, there's, God is not, he's not lacking in power one iota. Satan has not gained any in one iota. Where the shortfall will always come is us. And we will say, I'm human. Well, I'm going to share a bit of my own testimony because my wife had to go through some challenges. And I had to go quite a lengthy period of time without having sex. And the whole thing there was, It was about valuing the relationship with God, valuing the relationship with her, because that it would not have served me to yield to the flesh, because I knew what Satan was after, my authority. See, because I pray, once I got the revelation of how important I am in the prayer world, in the prayer realm, oh man, I was all in. And then shortly after that, after my pastor had taught us very well on that issue on the significance of prayer and the authority we have, and he's doing now the authority of the righteous, it became tantamount. And I knew, so I wouldn't expect, Satan is going to find a way to attack you, okay? That's what he do. But he can't do it if you stay submissive to God. That's what this whole life is, because at the next level, we will be at unrestricted power. If I'm not handling it now, if I'm making excuses now, and I know people do that, and I don't know what happened to people when they go on the other side, because this thing, like I said, God ain't, he ain't no joke. I mean, I look at that guy in Luke chapter 16, and this people, I heard from with my own ear, man of God, thinking, saying that God won't do that, but then you calling Jesus a liar. So I know that ain't from God. That man is in hell, and it appears, I don't know what the totality of his life is, but we do know that he was hard-hearted. And as a result, he's been restrained in Hades for 3,500 years and got a long way to go, forever. Okay, why? Because he showed God that he can't handle power. I mean, you can risk it. I'm not risking it. All right? So here in Corinth was a city, kind of like Las Vegas, all right, where everything was everything, you know. And I've been to Las Vegas, beautiful town, clean. It's amazing how clean it is, as simple as it is. That is so shocking. You're getting more trouble for littering in Las Vegas than you do for anything else. I mean, they really have hotels. I mean, listen, when you're in Las Vegas, when I was young, I used to hear about what was called a hoe card. You know, peep Joe hoe card is the slang in the hood. I know some of y'all never grew up in the hood, but anyway, so that meant somebody knew something on you, really. But anyway, so I'm walking through the street, and this guy got cards. They're about the size of a baseball card. I know some. It's amazing. Some of y'all have never seen those either. So young. Anyway, so they're handing these cards out, and they got pictures of naked women on them. I mean naked, naked. You know, well, they had on shoes, but please. and they had on there one for 88, two for 99. And I'm looking at it, and I'm like, you this serious? And, you know, stuff like that scared me. I couldn't do it. I could never do that anyway. I couldn't do that in my BC life. Why? Because I witnessed a friend of mine contract a venereal disease before they had AIDS. I don't know which one. I forgot whatever it was. But it was so painful, they had to give him a big shot of penicillin and all that. No. No, that right now. And I'm married to the last girlfriend I had then, behind that event. Hallelujah. If I get anything, I know where it came from. But, all right, so Paul is in Corinth, but it's Freon because God is not ruling in that town. They got their own God. And I think it was Diana. And then you got these cultures now in America where they have sacred prostitutes. Get that. You know, you can look it up. You got these different cultures that are now here. And see, our law, unfortunately, because they compromised from day one, see, freedom of religion is not from God. I'm saying that. I don't care if you agree, because God is very specific. The first 10 commandments are in Exodus chapter 20. And if you read them, you will not see any hint of freedom of religion. Now, the reason they allegedly made that statement is because what had happened was that the Catholic Church then, okay, was the government, and they were persecuting those that did not want to participate in, quote, Catholicism, like, i.e., worship the Pope and all that stuff and go by their system. They wanted to go by the word. So they came here to have freedom from that. And ergo, that's why they created and indoctrinated the freedom of religion. Okay. Now, I get that. But, you know, it was a senator recently, because of all that has happened, has stated that now they need to change that to freedom to be a Christian. Because no Christianity is being attacked. Of course, actually, they're attacking everything now. Anything of God, they're attacking. Jews, Muslims, even Buddhists. And Buddhists don't even have a God. But they anything that they think will, as they say, repress them. All right. So going back to the Corinthians, they were like that. So that was their culture. It was natural, okay? Because later on, they get into some super nasty stuff that, you know, it's amazing. Some incest. Let me just make it plain. All right. So Paul is talking about, why is he talking about this? Because he's trying to help them understand that they have to practice, live a certain type of life in order to access the power of God. All right? Now, all right, I don't want to. Now, again, like I said, I'm talking about what it is like to be in the body of Christ, what it is like to be in the kingdom of Christ. That's what this is about, because your life is distinguishedly different, and it has, believe me, now is the time to have that benefit. You know, like, look at all these diseases. They still expecting an upsurge in COVID. Well, I mean, you know, you still got lupus, you still got cancer, and a whole host of other diseases that are killing people, not to mention diabetes, you know. The point of the matter is that all these things are subject to the name of Jesus. All right. All right, I'm going to start with verse 15, because actually, you know, you want to go back and read this. You want to go back and read the whole book slowly. And again, let me remind you, whenever you pick up the Bible and pick up your phone and read out the Bible, just say a quick prayer. Lord God, reveal to me that which you would have me to know. Give me the revelation that you desire me to have. And I thank you for it in Jesus' name. That's your authority. That's one of the major things about being in Christ. Only a Christian can address God. That's a statement of the covenant. It's the same as like pleading the blood. I can't wait to get to that. But anyway, it says, do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ himself? Shall I then make the members of Christ and unite them with a prostitute? Never. Do you know that he who unites himself with a prostitute is one with her in body? Is one with her in body? For it is said, the two will become flesh. But he who unites himself with the Lord is one with him in spirit. Flee sexual immorality. All other sins a man commits are outside the body, but he who sins sexually sins against his own body. Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You were bought with a price. Therefore, honor God with your body. That's tremendous. That's tremendous. And how can you know this? Imagine, there was a time in history, case in point, in Catholicism, they had a ban on the Bible, of members of Catholicism, from having a Bible all the way up until 1950. 1950, going all the way back 2,000 years to 300 years, 326 A.D., somewhere in there, up to 1950. They battled over that. This is what the Reformation period, if you look up Reformation period, you'll get some idea of the battle. It's a book called Fox's Book of Martyrs that'll give you kind of it's a historical account of everything that went on during that period and how we got to, quote, to have a Bible. Which, and it's, the sad reality is we now can all have a Bible, but over 90% of us still don't read it. How would you know this? This is, and I know Satan try to keep people from reading because if they know this, they know they're in trouble. This is why people rush out and marry the wrong person because they want to get out of their sexual sin. And then they find out they're really in a battle because they married to the wrong person. You know, in my book, I tell you, don't marry nobody that don't pray every day. Yeah, you know, that's just it. Because the person that pray every day is in constant communion with God. And they value that relationship. And therefore, they won't do anything to upset that relationship, they will restore it quickly, which is simply repenting and acknowledge God according to his word. Amen. But they will avoid it. They know they will take care and see you as God's child. They'll see you as God's husband. They'll see you as God's son or God's daughter. There's a different mindset when you spend daily, and you can't go to God. I can't go to God in prayer and something be wrong. You know, I can't say anything. If I say something offensive to my wife, if I act offensive and I try to go before God, you know, like, oh, dude, I, you know, next week I'll show that because I don't want to get off track here. Because, again, understand in the spiritual realm, this provocation is going on. See, I knew a change was going to come with the Internet because before that, pornography particularly was a man pastime, okay? And I did see some of it in my BC day. They had these theaters, you know, you could go to, which was kind of weird, curiosity for the most part. It wasn't someplace I hung out because I'm like, I ain't in the movie. What benefit of that? And if I'm a sin, I wanted to be sinning, you know? It's like, you know, going into a bank and stick it up and leave without the money. But anyway, but the Internet brought it into the home. It made it personal. This is why if you have children, you need to teach them the truth about the word. Because I'm going to tell you about an event that I had my eldest son, who's a Marine captain now, praise the Lord. Amen. I tell you a blessing. I remember I had a chance to hear him pray, and man, oh man, that was awesome. And you can tell when people pray a religious prayer, and they pray, and they know God. God is personal. See, you can tell your kids about God, but they got to go to him themselves. And he has to be personal that has to be personal between them. And that's what I love about it. That is the greatest blessing of my life is my children. I'm telling you, man. Because God told me, this is something else. Listen at this. God told me, he said, if you live right, I will bless your children. That's Psalm 112, 118. I will bless your children. And he did. He did. All right. So, again, see, so this is what all that's about. And you're going to have a battle because, see, you got to understand how the principles of prayer work. See, what happened at this event at the Oscars was that more than 1,000, 10,000 demons, about 15, 20 of them knowing that been at that event with all them people there, probably a million. So it's not shocking to be overcome. Because you're talking in the spiritual realm, you got to understand how that realm works, okay? You got to get some data on how prayer works. You got to go on the internet. Now if you look at my videos on prayer, I explain about what it means when the Bible says one could chase 1,000, 2, 10, and how God exponentially multiplies our authority. See. So that way, because usually when you act up, you've been attacked by more than 1,000 demons. It's a lot to understand about these creatures and what they are. Even with their power, they're trying to challenge your spirit. It takes some effort. Notice that it didn't say that 500 could take you out. So it takes some effort, which says you have a tremendous amount of power. You know, there's an incident in Mark chapter 5 with the madman of Gadara. You got to really, you got to see it in the realm that it is in. Don't just read it like you read in a Marvel comic book. Look at that. That's a real event. This man has, they say the legion was 4,000, 5,000. I'm going to just say he had over 4,000 demons in him. Not just around him, in him. Okay, and it gave him supernatural strength, and I have dealt with people like that. Okay, now this is the thing you gotta look at that realm. What's that telling you? You're dealing with a beyond the norm. You can't address this thing. Well, you know that was then. This is now. No, it's more so now. More so now, because again, you got other cultures bringing them in here because they have certain practices. Those demons have certain practices. That's what, you know, you have some congressmen that really, that's why they so hard on immigration. They don't want folk bringing them demons in there with them. But at the same time, God want them here because we are here with greater authority in Christ. But you have to recognize, because, see, you'll find those creatures again in you. What? But come on, now that's what we like. They know this. They'll play that psychology. So you really have to be consciously conscientious about what you're dealing with all the time, because them demons will talk real sweet and nice, get you all caught up, and before you know it, trust me, it's a lot of people that are on the other side in heaven that wish they were still here, but because they should not be there. And then when they find out how easy they let Satan trick them into dying, it is probably just, you know, just like, I don't know, I just can't imagine. And I base this on a conversation that people have had with people that have gone over there, and God, it seems like he's taking people every day. I guess as we get closer to the end, he's going to take more and more people. They dying and they coming back there. I mean, if this folk going and dying and spending hours over there and come back, you know. There's one pastor, he spent 4 or 5 days in there. They had autopsied his body. It's all documented. Can't argue with doctors and documentation. You could try to. And doctors, they weren't going to lie about it. You know, they showed that when they cut your organs out and sewed them up. But see, so we're not in the dark about this. And I'm not surprised that God is doing it, because I have always held the belief that the closer we get to the end, the more God will reveal it. I expect now more about the book of Isaiah, Ezekiel, Daniel, And revelation, more, we're going to get rapid downloads of revelation of information. Amen. And you need to be looking for that, because at the same time, you want to be sensitive to the, this is another thing. You want to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit so that you can pray for people. God wants to use you. Healing is his calling card. He has authority to heal through you. See, a person not in Christ could ask God for healing. Satan can block it. But if God can get you there in their presence, you have authority in the earth to lay hands on the sick, and it said they shall recover. That's in Mark chapter 16. Memorize that, because this is where we are. But you have to be sensitive. So you need to be living your life. Now, notice that Paul talked about this thing with prostitutes. And they're coming all forms and fashion these days. And there's a lot of that going on. Because people outside of Christ don't have the spiritual awareness of what is going on. It's like, do your own thing. They don't even have a clue who they are. And then there's the aspect of, if I engage with them, Satan gets a twofer. He'll get me and them. So, again, you have to be conscious of that. And I have to deal with that. I mean, I still do Uber once or twice a week, and I pick up real quick. The Holy Spirit, you know, he gives me advance warnings. He really does. But it allows me to prepare myself with the word. To keep the reasoning for the advance warning is because he know what they dealing with. He know what he know what's coming, what's about to confront me, and what we need to deal, how I need to deal with it. Because at the end of the day, God won't want. He wants them redeemed. He wants them redeemed. And I want them redeemed. See, we ain't got much longer to go. I mean, this is just this. What I'm about to say is only my personal opinion. I don't think we got more than 2025, and I think we'll be out of here, because that meteor will be close to the Apophis, A-P-O-P-H-I-S, and somewhere, somehow, Putin will try to manipulate his way down through Ukraine so he can get in a position to launch against Israel. That's what it says in Ezekiel 38 and 39. You're going to get towed down, beat down, but, you know, and all these events are going to clash together. That's why I'm not worried about it happening next week or next month. You know, we still got a ways to go. But in the meantime, it's about outreach. You should be reaching out at the people that you work with. And I realize there's a lot of resistance, but there's a way. Now I find that people are less resistant to my conversation, because so much is going on. But you still have to have a way. You need to know the word. Look up salvation plan on YouTube, the scriptures to use to explain to them, and understand that they're still foreign to them. But above all, make sure, if you have an opportunity to pray for them, pray for them, and remember to pray for them to have their spirit of wisdom. That is to be able to, for God to introduce to their mind the ability to see things as he does, because that's the only way they can get the revelation. All right? So we're going to pick up next week at 1 Corinthians chapter 6. We did get to introduce it because, again, we want now more than ever to be able to access the power of God, because, you know, COVID is just one of. Jesus mentioned the term pestilences, plural. And I'm sure, Satan's objective is to reduce the opposition. I mean, typical in warfare, if you ever watched a battle movie, the battleships would bomb the shores, would bomb the islands, or bomb where they were going, because that reduced the amount of resistance once the infantry came inshore or inland to attack. They would bomb them. So that's what Satan is doing with this COVID, is he's killing off Christians, particularly Christians that are oblivious to how the power of God works. And there's many of them. I saw the situation that I was just, all I could do is pray. Because they still praying to the wrong person. You can't pray. Listen, you have the authority when you're a Christian. Once you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you have the authority to pray directly to the Lord God Jehovah, the only true and living God in the universe, yourself. You can pray for you. You can pray for anybody. He expects you to pray for anybody because you are the royal priesthood, as in 1 Peter 2:5 and verse 9. You're the holy people, a chosen generation. You didn't just wake up one day with a brilliant idea to become a Christian. It took some work, took a lot of work. But anyway, so to get to that point, you got to begin with this simple prayer. Just say this prayer with me. Lord God in heaven, I thank you for your mercy and your goodness. And I believe the story of your word. And I believe that we were born in sin and that you sent your son to redeem us. And I ask you, Lord Jesus, to come into my heart and to save me now. And I acknowledge, amen, I acknowledge and I believe in your word that I have received him and that I am born again. And I thank you, Lord, for your forgiveness and for your mercy. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Hallelujah. Well, I hope you learned a little something, but the main thing, like I say, read, is we got a ways to go. But, I mean, we got until Jesus come. Then you'll know all things as you are known. Amen. Now, remember this. Prayer is God trusting you with his power. Prayer works by faith. Faith works by love. And God is love. Shalom. See you next week. Yeah. Just wanna dive in the beat. Swim around in it. Let's rebel.
Showtime!